Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we are going to continue our study of helpers in the ministry out of Philippians chapter 2, and today we're going to study verses 23 through 30. That'll take us to the end of the chapter. Now, you may recall from our study yesterday that we started helpers in the ministry with verse 19, where Paul wanted to send Timothy to the Philippians to find out how they were doing. And he began to describe some characteristics of men that would help him in the ministry. And we find that in these verses from 19 to verse 30 in Philippians chapter 2, there are 9 characteristics of good helpers, men or women that would help somebody in the ministry. And yesterday we found from verse 19 that the first characteristic of a helper in the ministry is that they're faithful, dependable. You can count on them. The second thing we found from verse 20 is that the helper in the ministry that's going to be a real help to the preacher or to the minister is like-minded. In other words, he doesn't have his own mind and opinion about things. He's tuned in to what the Lord's doing with the pastor of that local work. The third characteristic of a good helper in the ministry was found in verse 21, and that is he's heavenly-minded. He's concerned with the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and not with his own things. Heavenly-minded, and keeping in mind that the ministry is about getting people to the Lord Jesus Christ and then strengthening them in the Lord Jesus Christ while bringing glory to God. It has very little to do with ministries, per se, like buildings and radio broadcasts and television ministries and all that other kind of stuff. Those are tools. Give us a convenient place to feed sheep and give us a good way of bringing more people into the fold. But they are not the ministry in and of themselves. They are just tools. They'll stay here when we're all raptured into heaven. So you want heavenly-minded helpers in the ministry who don't get tied up with carnal matters. And then the fourth characteristic from verse 22 that we found about helpers in the ministry is they need to be loyal. They need to be loyal. Like Paul said about Mark at the end of the ministry, bring him to me. He's profitable to me for the ministry. Very, very loyal. Now, those are the four characteristics that we looked at in the broadcast yesterday about helpers in the ministry from Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Today, we'll pick up with verse 23 down through the end of the chapter, and we'll find out 5 more characteristics about helpers in the ministry, good characteristics of helpers in the ministry. Now, Paul said in verse 23 concerning Timothy, he said, "Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me." Now, Paul's in jail, and so he's working out his own defense and seeing how he can get out of that thing so he can get back into going around and working with the churches and continuing to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, "I'm going to send him to you just as soon as I find out how this thing will go with me." Well, what that shows us then is the 5th characteristic of helpers in the ministry is they're available. They're available. Notice, Paul wasn't exactly sure how long it would take for him to find out how it was going to go with him. But as soon as he found out, he was going to send Timothy, and Timothy would be ready to go as soon as Paul said so. Timothy wouldn't be tied up with his own agenda and have a lot of other things to tend to before he could go and wrap up a lot of business. He was ready. He was available when needed. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ started calling his disciples, and you're reading about that in Matthew, for instance, he comes along where John and James are mending their nets, and he says, "Follow me." And they leave their nets, and they leave their father, and they leave the ships, and they go and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they were available. They were ready to go. He goes along, and he sees Peter and Andrew, and he says, "Follow me." They drop it and follow him. He finds Matthew, and Matthew is at the receipt of custom. He says, "Follow me," and he leaves the receipt. I mean, right away. you go along and you read in the Old Testament that Elijah is going to pick Elisha for his follower, his minister. And Elisha's out plowing with yokes of oxen. A lot of them out there. There are 12 of them. He's with the 12th yoke of oxen. And Elijah said, "Let's go." And he said, "Well, let me kiss my mom and dad by, and I'll sacrifice these oxen. I'm not planning coming back here and plowing anymore with these guys, and I'll burn these implements in order to burn this flesh. We'll offer a sacrifice to God, and I'll go with you." That's the spirit, see, of a good helper in the ministry. When there's something to be done, they drop what they're doing and get to the work at hand. The Lord God called Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. The Lord said, "I need somebody to go for him." And he said, "Here am I, send me." Wonderful, man. That is wonderful. The other day I had the opportunity to call upon one of our men to teach a Bible study on Sunday evening. And I waited until Saturday to call him. And when I called him, you know what his answer was? "Oh boy, what an opportunity. I'll be glad to do it." And he did a good job. Well prepared, had everything lined out, dropped what he was doing so that he'd have an opportunity to prepare to teach some people Bible, and did a good job. That's the attitude, that's the spirit, that's the characteristic of a good helper in the ministry. You don't have to wait on their agenda. They're waiting on you to ask them to do something, and then they're going to do it. Wonderful, wonderful. Do you want to be a helper in the ministry to somebody who is in the ministry, to your pastor, or to somebody that's in the ministry? Then make yourself available so that when they call upon you, they don't have to circulate through a list of about 15 names to find somebody who doesn't already have plans for the weekend, but who can be there to take care of them, or who will willingly change plans in order to be a help when there's a great need, available. The next characteristic, then, that we find of a helper in the ministry, we'll read verse 24, but we won't find the characteristic there. We'll find it in verse 25 of Philippians chapter 2. 24 says, "I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you." Now he introduces another helper. Before we've been talking about Timothy, now he's talking about Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. Now look at all these great definitions of Epaphroditus. To Paul, he was a brother. He was a companion in labor, a fellow soldier, a messenger, and a minister. Wow! Well, without dealing with the rest of the text, we could spend the rest of the broadcast dealing with those five aspects of a helper in the ministry. A brother, a companion, a fellow soldier, one who's willing to take up arms in an attack and stave the thing off, a messenger, and a minister. Woo! Wouldn't you like God to have been able to say that about you and your relationship to your pastor? Well, what we would say here concerning the sixth characteristic in this passage of Scripture of a helper in the ministry is that he is companionable. Companionable. He likes to be with the preacher, but doesn't hog his time. Like Paul said about Epaphroditus, he's my companion in labor. Well, he's there to help out whenever he's needed, but he's not trying to hog all the time because, after all, Paul was a minister to a lot of different churches and to a lot of different people, and needed somebody that he could refresh himself with, somebody that was a true brother in Christ that wouldn't take advantage of the closeness of his relationship to reveal all of the secrets, somebody that he could pray with, somebody that he could lean on, somebody that he could talk over disconcerting matters with, somebody that would fight with him and not against him, somebody that would be faithful to deliver messages to people that needed those messages delivered from Paul, somebody that would minister to his necessities, minister to his wants, and do so very, very cheerfully. Companionable. That's a great helper in the ministry. You know, when you look back in the Old Testament, you find the relationship between David and Jonathan was one that was so close, their love surpassed the love of women. Somebody said, then that must have been a homosexual relationship. That's nonsense. One of the greatest love that men have for a woman would be the love that he has toward his wife or the love that he has toward his mother. But you know something? When he finds a man with whom he can be a great companion, there is a love there. There's a kindred spirit. They fought battles together, like Epaphroditus had with Paul, fellow soldier. A companion, like two guys that would sit out at night around a campfire drinking over a cup of coffee and talking about some of the things that are in the depths of their heart. A real brother, a real minister, like David and Jonathan. Companionable. Like comrades. You know, when you read books like All Quiet on the Western Front, you find that when men are engaged in battle together, and they have experienced hardship, they have experienced bloodshed, they have experienced sights and sounds that have drawn them into a knit relationship, close-knit relationship, unlike anything you've ever seen. Wouldn't you like to know that when your pastor has taken up spiritual warfare, you were in the trenches with him, fighting for him, not joining forces with the devil to tear him down? And in the ministry, there are spiritual battles that need to be fought. And there are companions in those battles that need to get into the trenches and help out in the defense of the cause of Christ. And you know what? In the ministry, there are very few men who can really get alongside the pastor, who don't want to end up patting themselves on the back and taking credit for the bullets that they've endured. There are very few. But Epaphroditus was one of those to Paul. Wouldn't you love to be in that capacity with your pastor? Somebody that at the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ could come along and say, "You were to your pastor like John was to me." John laid across the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ at the Lord's Supper. Didn't deny him at the crucifixion. Was standing there with his mother, with Jesus' mother at the crucifixion, waiting for orders from his captain. And he got those orders. He basically said, "Behold your mother." And to Mary, he said, "Behold your son. Take care of my mother." Evidently, Joseph, Mary's husband, was dead, evidently. Evidently, she was a widow. Jesus said, "Take care of my mother." Last order that he gave to John, "Mom, look after my friend." Wow, boy, wouldn't you love to be able to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and have the Lord Jesus Christ recognize you privately for the way that you stood with the pastor? And when everybody else turned against him and there was a real fight on the hand, you stood there because you recognized he was a good man. Now, he may not have been a good man, but let's say he is a good man and needed somebody to be faithful. You weren't blind in your love, but you took the bullet with him and you waited at the last for the last message, for the last word of order and instruction that he would give out to somebody to discharge the duty. Companionable. So what we've seen then so far in review in Philippians chapter 2 from verses 19 to 30 are six characteristics of faithful helpers in the ministry. They're faithful from verse 19. Secondly, they're like-minded from verse 20. Heavenly-minded from verse 21. They are loyal from verse 22, available from verse 23, and companionable from verse 25, willing to go the distance, stay in the fight. My prayer to God is that this is what you will be for your pastor. My prayer to God is that if there is a minister of your acquaintance, a pastor or an associate pastor or somebody that God has put in your path, an evangelist, somebody that is in the ministry, that God will make you, that you will willingly ask God to make you to be his helper in the ministry by being faithful, like-minded, heavenly-minded, loyal, available, and companionable. Not trying to build your own deal on his coattails, but simply there to do whatever you possibly can to be his help. Helpers in the ministry. They have great characteristics like Timothy and Epaphroditus in this passage. Let's move on to the seventh characteristic found in verse 26. Epaphroditus, "For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that ye had been sick." The next characteristic of helpers in the ministry is they are charitable. Charitable. You see, Epaphroditus loved the Philippians. He longed after you all, and he was full of heaviness because when the Philippians heard that Epaphroditus was sick, he thought that would be an added burden to him, and he didn't want them to feel or recognize or have that burden. So it was very heavy, and it was heavy for him because he was a great help to them. and a great help to Paul with them. And he didn't want to be sick. He wanted to be available to take care of whatever responsibility Paul had for them in the ministry. Paul was locked up. They needed Epaphroditus, and Epaphroditus was sick, and it caused him to long for them. He was charitable. He loved them. He was totally motivated in his work by one characteristic and one characteristic only, and that was love for those people. Do you love the same flock that the Lord Jesus Christ has put under the care of your pastor the same way that he loves them? Because if you do, it is going to fit you to be a great helper to him in the ministry. But if you don't love them with the same unselfish love that your pastor loves the flock, then you're not going to be well equipped to help him in the ministry, because your motivation must be love. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in your love for the poor, you could give all of your possessions, and in your love for the work, in your help to the poor, you could give all of your possessions, and in your help to the ministry, you could give your body to be burned. But if you don't love the people that you give to, love the Lord Jesus Christ in whose name you give, and if you don't love those people for whom you die a martyr's death, the whole thing works to you for nothing. It comes up a big goose egg. Listen, you could be such a great teacher and such a help to your preacher because you know so much Bible and because you know so much prophecy, because you are such a faithful student of the Word. But if your motive for those things is not love, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, all of the work comes out totally unprofitable. You have to be motivated by love. You have to be in love with the Savior that loved you. We love Him because He first loved us. And you have to be in love with the people that you are trying to help your pastor minister to, or it is going not to work. Jesus Christ said to His disciples, "By this shall all men know that you are My disciples, that you have love one for another." Do you love the same sheep that God has entrusted to the care of your pastor the same way that He does, or more so? If you do, you're fit to be a helper to Him in the ministry. Look in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. There are a lot of things that you need to do, but Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, "Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Now, you want to be perfect, a perfect helper in the ministry? Put on charity, and that'll keep things together. Listen, if you don't love those to whom you minister and love the one for whom you minister, that is your pastor and the Lord Jesus Christ, you're liable to be used by the devil to turn that thing into a wreck without knowing it. You've got to be in love with Jesus. You've got to be in love with your pastor, and you've got to be in love with the sheep that you are helping him minister to. Isn't that a wonderful characteristic of a helper in the ministry? Of course it is. Now, the seventh characteristic of a helper in the ministry is he is sacrificial. For that, let's look at verses 27 and 30. Epaphroditus, "For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." Why was he sick unto death? Verse 30, "Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me." So Epaphroditus was not only a faithful minister at discharging things to the Philippian church, but where the Philippian church was incapable of being able to supply service toward Paul, Epaphroditus made up their lack of service. And in doing those things, he worked himself down to a sickness that nearly killed him. Going over there to help the Philippians and coming back to help Paul, he worked so hard and so tirelessly that he nearly killed himself in the ministry. He was sacrificial in his help. Boy, I'll tell you what, that is not characteristic of so many that want to be helpers in the ministry today. A lot of people want to be helpers in the ministry because they want to be recognized as having a position in the choir, or a position as a superintendent, or a position as a Sunday school teacher, or as a position as a visitation leader, or something like that. But, you know, oftentimes that's selfishly motivated by, "Look at me." But not Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was sacrificial. He willingly gave himself to the point of literal exhaustion and near death. He was sacrificial. Now, don't think that we in the ministry would regard you for your sacrifice in the sense that you disregard yourself to the point of near death so that we can all say what a great servant you are. Don't do it for that. Take care of yourself. But if the need arises that you must deny yourself to that point, then be fit for that service. But hey, the ordinary duty is that you have a sacrificial intention, a sacrificial heart, but you're never called upon to sacrifice that much that you would actually die trying to help your pastor. You understand that? Nobody's going to sit there and pat you on the back because, you know, in the 24-hour prayer meetings, you always take the 3 o'clock duty in the morning so that everybody can say what a great servant you are. Now, let somebody else have that blessing from time to time. You understand what I'm saying? Be sacrificial in your intent, but do take care of yourself. Fortunately for Paul, Epaphroditus recovered from this. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 4 and 5. Paul is complimenting the Macedonian church on their giving to the poor saints, and they've just come out of some poverty themselves. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, they wanted Paul to receive the gift, that praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering unto the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They were very, very faithful servants and gave themselves to Jesus and gave themselves to Paul. Like Paul said to the Romans, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what Paul wants you to do in order to be a helper to somebody in the ministry. Be willing to sacrifice yourself. Oh, boy. That makes for a tremendous helper in the ministry. Sacrificial. Not looking after their own affairs, more than looking after the affairs of those that they minister to in helping those that minister. All right, and then finally, the ninth characteristic of helpers in the ministry, the fifth one that we're looking at today, is that they've got to be reputable. We'll skip verse 28. We'll read it, but we're not looking for the characteristic from that. We'll find it in verse 29. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in, what? Reputation. They need to be reputable. Do you want to be a helper to your pastor in the ministry? Pay your bills. Be reputable. You want to be a helper to your pastor in the ministry? Be of good and honest report, so that nobody can find anything bad to say about you. Don't be a slanderer, a backbiter, somebody that gets close to the pastor so that you can get some recognition and then turns around and downs everybody else because they're not as close to the pastor as you are. Be reputable so that nobody can question your motive and nobody can question your decisions and nobody can question your affairs, literally. You see, in Acts chapter 6, when they needed people just to wait tables, they were just looking for waiters. People recognized that in Acts chapter 6, these men were deacons. But all they did is they served little old widow ladies some meals from time to time whenever they were neglected. That's all they were. No big shots. No committee, no board, not telling the pastor what to do, not running the finances of the church. Those things have come later, but when they were first chosen, they were simply chosen to wait tables. But notice, for such a menial task, the qualifications and characteristics. In Acts chapter 6, verse 3, they need to be men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and wisdom. Honest report. In Romans chapter 12, verse 17, Paul told the Romans, you be honest. You be honest. That is, don't tell lies. Pay your taxes. Pay your bills on time. Don't cheat people in business. Don't undercut them and adopt the business practices of the world just so you can make a little more money. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If they could check out your book records by audit, they'd find out that you did everything honestly and above board. 1 Timothy chapter 3, when it did come down to deacons taking on other responsibilities to help in the ministry, to help their pastors, they had other qualifications that were listed, and in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, let them be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Nobody ought to be able to blame you for anything. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Nothing worse than a helper in the ministry coming home, telling his wife some of the things that he's worked with the pastor on and seen the pastor endure, and then have her go and blab it all at a social. Titus chapter 1, verse 8 says about pastors, they might need to be lovers of good men. Be a good man that your pastor can love then. So be a good man. Be reputable. Well, let's review these nine characteristics that are found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30, that characterize a good helper in the ministry, and then strive to be those things so that when your pastor or associate pastor or some minister or an evangelist needs help in the ministry, you will be there to take care of what they need you to do when they need you to do it. Number one, be faithful. Number two, be like-minded. Number three, be heavenly-minded. Number four, be loyal. Number five, be available. Number six, be companionable. Number seven, be charitable. Number eight, be sacrificial. And number nine, be reputable, so you don't cast a blemish upon his ministry for what you do. Now, isn't that wonderful? I'll tell you what, Paul had it really, really good in Timothy and Epaphroditus, because together with those men, that's the kind of help he had in the ministry, and that's the kind of help we should be to our pastors in the ministry. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God grant that you may be a good helper in the ministry to a minister by adopting and becoming these nine things by the grace of God. I pray God, for Jesus' sake, that he will accomplish that in your life.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number 3, bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.